Juno Afternoon is made possible with support from Hanson Grass, delivering IT support to local businesses for over 15 years. Our first guest is an award-winning author who will be doing a reading this Saturday at the Slam. Welcome to Juno Afternoon, Pam Houston.
Thank you very much.
It's nice to have you here. Wow, what a treat.
I can't wait to come back to Alaska. Any excuse to get up there is a good one for me.
Well, it's going to be great to have you. I think a lot of our listeners might know who you are. Author of Deep Creek, Finding Hope in the High Country, Contents May Have Shifted, Sight Hound, Cowboys Are My Weakness, Waltzing the Cat, A Little More About Me, and the O. Henry Award, the Pushcart Prize, Best American Travel Writing, the Best American Short Stories. The list goes on. And in full disclosure, I have an MFA in creative writing and have studied your work for a long time and have shared it with my students at the local university. This is a real honor.
Well, that's great. Thank you so much.
All right. So this Saturday, you'll be at the APK, the Andrew P. Kachaverov State Library and Archives and Museum, from 2 to 4 p.m. What are you thinking about sharing with us Juno Whites when you get here?
Well, I'll probably read from the book. We haven't quite talked about it yet, but I have some slides to show if people want that. But I'll also just be talking about the book and how it was made. And the book's called Deep Creek, and it's about my 25 years on a 120-acre homestead in southwestern Colorado.
Got it. Where are you calling from right now?
Right now, I'm on the side of the road in rainy California. I'm teaching this quarter, spring quarter, at UC Davis, where I teach creative writing still. And so I'm out here for about 10 weeks. And California is not my natural habitat, so I'm using the weekends to go to some places I love and promote the book.
You're way down there at sea level, right? It's probably the air's pretty thick. And
I am. I'm about 40 feet above sea level. I just passed a sign in the town that we were driving, trying to find reception, and it said that we came into a town and it said 40 feet.
Usually you live somewhere up around 8,000 or 9,000 feet, right?
I do. I live very near the headwaters of the Rio Grande at just about 9,000 feet is the valley floor, and I live in a high mountain meadow surrounded on all sides by 12,000 and 13,000-foot peaks.
Okay. So let's see. A lot of short stories, a couple novels, a collection of essays, and now this memoir, Deep Creek. What was that like shifting to a full-length memoir for you? Have you enjoyed the process?
I have. You know, I mean, I didn't enjoy it while I was doing it. Looking back on it, I learned a lot. You know, I've written a lot of personal essays, and I really thought it wouldn't be such a hard shift as it was. But sustaining that narrative for a long time without the opportunity in fiction to, you know, elevate the story or make something happen, or, you know, it was a different process. I think writing fiction is a lot about explosions, and writing memoir is a lot about, I don't know, it felt like sort of water saturating the ground. I had to wait for it. I had to be really patient.
Okay. Do you happen to have a sample from Deep Creek that you can share with us?
I do. I'm going to cough first. Okay. I'll hold the phone away, all right? All right, here we go. This is, the book's made up of longer chapters with these little one-page shorties in between, which are called Ranch Almanac chapters, and they sort of describe the year at the ranch. There's one about chopping wood, and there's one about putting up hay, and there's one about lambing, and this is actually the last little snippet Ranch Almanac piece in the book, and it's just called Almanac. It's as beautiful a thing as I have ever known, living inside the ranch's almanac. How the weather shapes and dictates our lives, not just during a blizzard, but in every season. How the Leonids always follow the Perseids. how the monsoon always follows fire season, how wood follows hay and lambs follow the draining of the pasture, how lupin follows paintbrush, which follows flax, which follows iris, which follows the arrival of the bluebirds, which follows the last day of below zero cold. There's the way the sun warms the house right after sunrise through the east-facing kitchen windows. There's the smell of 250 bales of fresh hay in the barn on a warm September afternoon and the colors in the sky over Bristol Head at dusk. A good bed of coals in the wood stove. A pot of Hungarian mushroom soup on the range. The fuchsia blooms of the skyrocket on either side of the driveway. A coyote pausing, 1 foot in the air, crossing my pasture feet deep in snow. The smell of lanolin rising off the sheep. 5 elk beds near the creek in the back acreage still holding warmth from the vacated elk. The tiny tracks of mice in the snow. Roni, impatient for carrots, staring me down through the kitchen window on a frigid January morning. Orion, so bright and close outside my bedroom window in February, it's as if he's waiting for an invitation. The barn, always the barn, and its roof line against the blue of the mountain. The Milky Way, appearing nightly and milky above me. Moon glow on Pinkley's cabin, on the barn roof, on the snow in the pasture on a midnight cross-country ski. The screech of a red tail, the hoot of a barn owl, the high singing of a coyote, the bugle of an elk, or some other wild thing calling. A silence so big I can hear my own silence inside it. These are only a few of the ways the ranch mothers me.
All right. Thanks for sharing that. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you.
You sort of mentioned this a little bit earlier. You know, I liked how you said fiction sort of punctuated by these explosions and memoir is sort of water seeping into the ground. As you wrote this, did you find that you were in different space than when you do fiction?
Yeah, you know, all my fiction is so autobiographical, which is why I didn't think it would be different. But I think having done it, I was able to see my life whole, you know, which is a weird experience. I mean, I finished it and then I went on tour and I haven't really had time to think about what it means, but understanding my life as a story without making it a story was a really different experience, and I think a really valuable one. Though while I was doing it, I just felt like I was banging my head against a wall the whole time because I had to wait. You know, I had to wait, and I'm not a waiter. I'm a doer, and so I spent so many days just sitting and staring, and that's not the way I normally write. So it was very, very different. But in the end, it did come together to create a story. It just required more patience of me than I'm used to.
Got it. So right now you said you're teaching at UC Davis. Is that right?
Yes, I teach at UC Davis, and I teach at the Institute of American Indian Arts also. That's in Santa Fe, but that's a low residency program. So I kind of bounce from Santa Fe to Creed to California at the moment.
Got it. And do you tend to teach fiction, nonfiction, short stories, or probably all of it, huh?
All of it. In Davis right now, I have an undergrad nonfiction class and a graduate fiction class, and then also a class teaching the future teachers how to teach creative writing, so a teaching class. So I have one of each. And I'm really interested in teaching nonfiction now. I've been teaching it all along because I've written, you know, a lot of personal essays, and I've written a lot of nonfiction. But having completed a memoir, I feel like I'll be a much better teacher of memoir than I have been. Because, as I said, it had a lot of surprises in there for me while I was doing it.
If I may ask, what might be a few things you'd share with your students?
Well, that thing about patience, you know, and also in fiction, and when I say fiction, you know, I mean autobiographical fiction, but there's something in that spreading out process in memoir, like the seepage, the water, you know, spreading across the field and sinking into the little cracks, that makes the story, it gives it a kind of a breadth and depth it asks a different set of things from the reader than to sort of go along for the ride the way fiction does. You know, it asks the reader to think about their own life in a different way, I think. I don't know. You know, I have yet to figure it all out. but I do know that that waiting for the metaphors to kind of distill up from that morass that is only the truth, you know, that can't be added to the way I could add in fiction, yielded something really profound. But it took, you know, almost 8 years. Like, it took so much longer.
Okay, if you're just tuning in, we are speaking with award-winning author Pam Houston. She's going to be here in Juneau this Saturday, and she'll be presenting, doing a reading from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Father Andrew P. Kacheverov State Library Archives and Museum right here in the district, in the Arts District. We're sure looking forward to it. Let's see, before we go out, Pam, you just gave us maybe some advice for memoir. How about some generalist advice for our writers who are listening to the show right now? What do you like to share with folks?
Well, I think the two most important things that I say, and I teach, you know, all over the country, and I think the two most important things I ever say is, trust your reader. They know more than you do. And trust your metaphor, because it knows more than you do. And that's true across the board, fiction, nonfiction. I think, you know, the things that we find in the world that attract our attention, that arrest our attention, I call them glimmers when I teach, but anything out there in the physical world that grabs us and makes us say, hey, look at that. Like, that's got something in it for every writer. That's those things they notice. You know, those pieces of the exterior landscape are something they can use to express their interior landscape. And it's really, to me, the whole ball of wax is about trusting that.
All right. Trust your metaphors, trust your reader, and meet Pam Houston this Saturday from 2 to 4 p.m. at the APK Slam. Pam, it's really been fun talking to you. We look forward to having you. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I don't think so. I'm really looking forward to being there breathing some Alaska air for the long weekend.
Sounds good, Pam. Safe travels. We'll see you on Saturday.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye. Drowning out, filthy sound stumbling, ugly and crude, between the lips of your beautiful mouth. Deep down within me, words move in phases, frozen and still, till they decide.